Man, the title of my sermon this morning is The Reins and the Heart. The Reins and the Heart. The Bible says in verse 23, "And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Now, what does this word mean, the reins? R-E-I-N-S. It's used 15 times in the King James Bible. But what does it mean? Well, it actually means the kidneys. The reins are the kidneys. Now, if you look this up in the dictionary, a lot of people will say, oh man, the King James Bible, it just uses all this archaic language. How can we figure out what it means? Look, typically, if there's a word in the Bible that you don't understand, you can look it up in the dictionary, and almost every time it's going to give you the right answer, the vast majority of the time. And the dictionary that I like to use is, I just use dictionary.com. That's typically what I use. I have the app on my phone, or I just type into the browser, dictionary.com. So I went to dictionary.com, and I already knew what it meant, but I wanted to demonstrate this. So I typed in reins, and literally the first thing that popped up, definition number one, the kidneys. Okay, so it's not that this is just impossible to understand or too archaic. It's just sometimes you have to look things up in the dictionary because they're not words that we commonly use anymore. Definition number one that came up when I typed reins into dictionary.com is the kidneys. Definition number two, the region of the kidneys or the lower part of the back. Definition number three says, especially in biblical use, the seat of the feelings or affections formerly identified with the kidneys. Okay, so what is going on here? Now, usually when you hear the word reins, you probably immediately think of a horse. And you think of like the reins, like, ha! But that's a completely different word. Now, this word reins means kidneys, and there's also a remnant of this in a lot of medical terms, because you'll hear about people having renal failure. And what is renal failure? Renal failure is when their kidneys fail. Now, why does the Bible talk about the Lord searching the reins and the hearts? If the reins are the kidneys or the lower back where the kidneys are located, why does it say that God searches the reins and the hearts? Well, here's the thing about that. When you think about something, obviously your brain is the one doing the thinking, right? When we think about the body parts associated with different things, cognition takes place in the brain. Our mind is where we think thoughts. But stop and think about this. When you have some kind of an emotional response to something, do you feel that in your head or do you feel it in your abdomen? Stop and think about it. So let's say you get really scared, or let's say you're in love, or let's say you're really nervous about something or anxious, or let's say you get really angry or you're depressed. I mean, you fill in the emotion. When you have emotions, they cause a physical response in your abdomen, okay? And I mean this in the most literal sense. I'm talking about the actual physical pain or twinge or feeling that you have. Anybody who's experienced any emotions at all has felt those kind of feelings in their abdomen. And so that's why in the Bible, it'll use language regarding the bowels. And that has to do with like love and affection and feelings and emotion. And the reins are the same way. It's basically just talking about a seat of emotion. And that's even what dictionary.com said under definition three, especially in biblical use, the seat of the feelings or affections, formerly identified with the kidneys. Now, they're trying to make it sound like, oh, this is just some kind of an archaic understanding. You know, that's what they used to think or something like that. But it really isn't a formerly or archaic, because we still feel things in those parts of our body. And what you have to understand is that it's not that they lacked understanding of science, and that's, you know, now that we've learned science, we know that it's inaccurate. That's not what's going on. What's actually going on is that the Bible's just using this symbolically. Okay. Like, for example, when the Bible talks about your heart, it's not talking about the blood pumping organ. You know, no one ever thought that the blood-pumping organ is really the core of your spiritual being. Okay, I'm sure somebody thought that, but I'm saying most people didn't think that. The bottom line is that the reason why the heart is used in that way is because heart is simply referring to the core, the center of something. So the center of our being is called our heart, and our physical heart is the center of our body. And also all of the blood in our whole body goes through our heart. It's kind of a clearinghouse for all the blood in our whole body goes through the heart. And so think about the metaphor when the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, and the blood is the life. So these things are just symbolic. It's not that somebody actually thinks that, you know, emotions happen in your kidneys, or that love happens in your large intestine, or that, you know, your soul is physically located in the blood-pumping organ. But these are good descriptions to help us understand concepts that are not physical. Your soul is not physical. The spirit is not physical. Love is not physical. Emotions are not physical. They're in another realm. But there are certain parts of the body that get associated with these things. The heart is associated with our central being of who we are on the inside because it's the central organ in the body. And the kidneys or the bowels are associated with emotions and feelings because that's where you physically feel something when you experience emotion. You physically have a gut feeling about these things. Now, a lot of people, when they're reading the King James Bible and they don't understand something, instead of reaching for the dictionary, which is what they should be doing, or looking at the context or comparing scripture with scripture, which is what they should be doing, what they often think is, well, I'm just going to check a modern version. The problem with that is that the modern versions are garbage.
Right, that's right.
Okay? They're poor translations, and they often have an evil agenda. And they twist scripture, they remove entire verses, they add phrases and take things out wholesale. The new versions are very different from the King James. So if you want to read a new version because you want to read a different Bible that's different than the traditional text, and you just want to be a member of the Bible of the Month Club, then yeah, go ahead and get your newfangled Bible and be sure to get the next one when it comes out and the next one when it comes out as they keep changing what God says and making it more gender neutral and changing doctrines with the times and softening up the passages on the sodomites, etc. Hey, go ahead. But if you want to understand the King James Bible, the traditional received text, the last thing you want to do is reach for one of these modern versions. If you want to understand the King James Bible, grab a dictionary, yes. Ask someone who knows. Ask a mature believer or your pastor or someone else. But don't reach for one of these modern versions. Let me tell you what the modern versions do here. If you look up all these verses that talk about the rains in Scripture, in the modern versions, they will change rains to the mind. Okay, so like, for example, the ESV says, all the churches will know that I am he who searches the mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. The NIV, know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. Even the New King James Version, so-called, changes this to, I am he who searches the minds and hearts. The MEV, the RSV, the Amplified Version, Holman Christian Standard Bible, virtually any version that I checked, and I checked 20 or 30 versions, they all replace reins with mind. And in the Old Testament, they do the same thing. And I'm here to tell you, that is not correct. The reins are not the mind. That's not what it means. And you're losing meaning by going to that translation. Because here's the thing. The reins are the seed of emotion. That's not the mind. The mind is thinking. The mind is cognition. God's not saying here, hey, I search the mind and I search the heart. He searches the reins and the heart, which has to do with how you feel, not what you think. Does everybody see the difference?
Yeah.
There's thinking and cognition, and then there's feeling and emotion, and the reins are the feelings and emotions, not thoughts. It's a totally different idea. So a lot of people, they would look at reins and then say, oh, let me grab a modern version. Oh, reins is mind. And then they're probably going to think it's like the horse reins. Like they're probably going to think like, oh yeah, you control the horse. You know, the mind controls the body. Boom. And I've talked to several people that have that understanding. And I had to explain to them, hey, It's kidneys, okay? You say, what in the world? Kidneys? But here's the thing. In the Hebrew mentality, that's what, just like we use the heart and nobody bats an eye, even though we don't think that that blood pumping organ is actually where those things are going on. Well, back then, that's what they used in the Old Testament. And the only reason the New Testament uses it is because it's quoting the Old Testament. But it's a Hebrew thing. You know, the Hebrew idea is the reins being a seat of emotion. Now, if you would, turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. And while you're turning there, I'm going to give you some scriptures where the word reins is referring to your literal kidneys or that literal region of your body. And so in the verses where it's literally your kidneys, what the modern versions will often do there is they'll just translate it as kidneys. So when it's literal, they'll translate it as kidneys, but when it's metaphorically they wrongly translate it as the mind. When it's not the mind, it's the reins, which is different. So I'll give you some scriptures. You turn to Jeremiah 17, but in Isaiah 11:5, the Bible says, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." And obviously the girdle would go around the lower back region where the kidneys are. Job 16:13, "His archers compassed me about. He cleaved my reins asunder and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground." So we see there, you know, his guts are being ripped up. Kidneys, bowels, whatever. Lamentations 3:12, "He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins." He's talking about being shot in the back, right? Being shot in the lower back area, shot through the kidneys. Job 19:25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." So he's talking about his skin being destroyed, his flesh being destroyed, and his reins being consumed within him. Talking about the literal kidneys. Now, Revelation chapter 2, verse 23 is a direct quote from Jeremiah 17:10. That's where Revelation is quoting when Jesus says, "All the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts," meaning that not only does he know what's on your mind, but he knows what's in your heart, the very center and core of who you are on the inside, and he also knows how you feel. He knows what you feel, and I'm going to get to why that's so important.